All right, guys, 2-0. I mean, everything's great, right?
Perfect. You know, all those drops, incompletions, it looked perfect to me.
Better than 0-2.
It is. But, you know, 2-0.
Sort of, a little bit.
They won two division games, which is a plus, obviously. You want to win those games. And they're going through that transition that we all knew would happen with the offense. But, you know, what's going to happen from here? Injuries are starting to pile up. And, you know, Brady is having trouble with his wide receivers. You know, where is the glimmer of hope going forward this week against the Bucs and beyond that?
Well, I think this week against the Bucs, you face a similar challenge. It's not an elite football team. It's a game you probably should win. You're the better football team. But what you said is what worries me, injuries piling up. Because the thought was, okay, when Gronk gets back, everything will be okay. Well, if Gronk gets back and you don't have Vereen and you don't have Amendola for an extended period, yeah, you took one little step forward, but you're still kind of at a loss trying to piece all those weapons together. So we knew this was going to be a process. I think this is a little bit uglier than most fans expected this process to be early on.
You do, but, you know, we're hearing all this, well, they need to do something. They need to bring people in, you know, veterans to...
Your bet is made, Lion.
Right. I agree with that. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I have to be upfront on this. This is offensively worse, a lot worse than I thought it was going to be.
And I did
anticipate there to be some sort of transition, and I didn't think it would be, you know, 550 points and number one in the league and all that stuff, but I didn't think there was going to be like this against two bad football teams. The miscommunications or the lack of communication between the rookies and Tom was concerning to me, and certainly you guys already touched on it, but the injuries are concerning as well. The glimmer of hope is that you have another sort of bad team, like Andy said, in Tampa Bay coming in. You know, a decent defense, but not a great team, and one that's struggling at 0-2. And also, you have a chance to get Gronkowski back. And if you can do that, maybe you start seeing some of the pieces that you're going to have moving forward. And that can be a big difference.
And one more glimmer of hope, just talking to the players after the Jets game in the locker room, at least defensively, some of the veterans, they're learning to win tough games. Now, I don't know if they can do that against better competition down the road when you're facing, you know, the Bengals, a tough physical, but they're learning to fight to the finish. You know, all the things we've heard in other years sometimes were questions. You know, can this team fight to the end? Can they play 60 minutes? They're having to play 60 minutes early in the year in order to get to 2-0. So maybe long-term, that's a silver lining that you build as a team kind of coming together.
And, you know, I know, Paul, you think it's a lot worse than you thought it would be. But, you know, you're coming off a Bills game where they had the offensive struggles. No practices in between, short week, really no time to work on, you know, what was, you know, the problems that you had against the Bills. Plus, now you're without Vereen. Now you're without Amendola. I mean, should we have expected anything more out of the offense than we saw that night?
Well, beyond just looking at
and
that.
And the Jets, by the way. I'm giving the Jets credit, too.
Well, yeah, I don't. How about, drops and some of the things that look so bad,
well,
I don't give the Jets
the
credit
ball.
For. Okay,
yeah.
So we'll give them a little credit.
Yeah.
But even going further back, you know, I went and did some digging. 2006, the last time we sort of redid the receivers on the fly here, it was the same thing. You know, Brady completed 50% of his passes. I think he had a rating in the 80s. It just
first
wasn't.
Two games,
first
right.
Two games. Same
right.
Exact thing. The yardage is almost identical, like 483, 473. There were struggles that year. They worked it out.
Let's talk about the defense a little bit because, you know, only giving up 10 points against the Jets. Yes, it is Geno Smith.
And Clyde Gates.
You know,
worst football player I've ever seen coming from another team.
But they're making the stops when they have to in close games. And that's not something that they've been doing the last few years.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you started at the beginning, Fred, about the silver linings, and that's another one. Two games that you needed to lean on the defense a little bit, and I agree with Andy that the Jets weren't very good offensively, and I thought they dropped a lot of passes and made a lot of mistakes, but the bottom line is both times you had your defense get a certain amount of points from the offense and knew they weren't going to be able to allow many more than that, and they were able to come through. This one was the entire fourth quarter with a three-point lead, and in the NFL, that's nothing. I mean, all it takes is one mini drive, and you're in field goal range. The Patriots were able to force a bunch of turnovers, three interceptions. Now you can say they were terrible plays by a rookie quarterback, but the fact of the matter is they came up with the plays. And there were a bunch of, I thought, happy defensive players after that game because it's been a long time since the Patriots have been able to win a game when they score fewer than 20 points. And I think they were really satisfied with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, now you take that into, you know, the Buccaneers coming to town this week. It's a very similar scenario. You're talking about, you know, Freeman, who's had has much more experience than Manuel and Geno Smith, but he's having his struggles there.
And there's a chance he gets yanked at any time here, and you see another rookie in Glennon. That's a possible,
you know, legitimate offensively. So you look at Doug Martin and say, okay, he's their C.J. Spiller. Not the same type of guy, but the guy you need to stop.
The workhorse.
We know that Patriots, when it's that one guy that you need to stop, they do a pretty good job at that.
The one problem with that is they also have Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams. They can get the ball down the field, especially Jackson, who's made big plays as a Charger against the Patriots in the past. And, you know, Clyde Gates drops the ball and Geno Smith doesn't hit him. I think there's a better chance that if he gets behind the defense, Josh Freeman will hit him and he'll catch it, and that'll be big plays, and that could be a was a problem in Buffalo.
All right, well, we'll see this week what happens against the Buccaneers.
It's no secret the Patriots offense struggled in the first couple of weeks, but one of the reasons why the Patriots are still 2-0 has been a strong play of the special teams, and I'm talking specifically about the punt units, both in returns and coverage. Matthew Slater is a really important part of this, and that's why I'm concerned about the wrist injury that he reportedly has. He could be out of the lineup for a while. He has really been a big part of winning that field position. And Julian Edelman on the other side on returns. This is a big factor in the Patriots' success. The offense hasn't moved the ball, but they've been able to get just enough points because they're winning the field position game. And talking to Logan Mankins a little bit during the preseason, one area that I think he felt the offensive line really needed to improve on was running the football in situations when the defense knew it was coming. So far, that really hasn't been the case in 2013. Against the Jets the other night, it just didn't happen. They weren't able to line it up in between the tackles with Stephen Ridley and move the ball consistently on the ground. This is one area I think the Patriots offense really needs, especially right now with Tom Brady and those receivers struggling to get on the same page. They know they can run the ball against the smaller fronts. It's time to do it against the bigger ones. Now, we had a chance to see a little bit of a pass rush against New York, and that was a good sign. Chandler Jones getting a couple of sacks, but the one sack that I was most excited about during that game was the one that came early from Michael Buchanan. It wasn't necessarily because the rookie made a great move or had some great penetration. It was more of a coverage sack. But the reason I'm excited about Buchanan is he could be the kind of guy that they've been looking for, a sub-rusher to come in with one specialty, get after the quarterback, a seventh-round pick out of Illinois. He had a great season as a junior when Whitney Mercilus was on the other side. He struggled as a senior. That's why he was a seventh-round pick. This is a guy I'm really intrigued by. He has the athleticism and the length to really cause some problems on the outside. So Michael Buchanan is a guy that I'm really excited about.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I ain't really ain't no good dancer, so you probably gonna see no dancing.
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
Everybody ready? Here are the images of the week. This pass by Tom Brady led to this catch by Aaron Dobson. Here's a near catch by Kenbrell Tompkins. You can just see how close it was. Finally, here's the hit that started that whole brouhaha at the end of the game.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Joining me now from the Patriots locker room at Gillette Stadium, Patriots defensive end Tommy Kelly. Tommy, as you prepare for this Week 3 matchup against the Bucs, what has the last week plus been like? You had those two games and basically a four-day span there, short week, and now you get a long week. So how's the difference here between the 2 weeks?
Last week it was kind of rushed, and you didn't get to work on your technique and your footwork, so that was kind of off in the game a little bit. But I'm happy that we're back on a regular schedule because, you know, I can work on my tools, so, you know, that helps out a lot.
Now turning the page to the season, the team, you're coming off two tough early season wins, both games kind of coming right down to the wire. Some of us in the media have said winning ugly. What's your reaction to that?
Long we win, that's all that matters. I mean, you just know our Tom track record, he going to get the offense right. The offense going to come around. So, I mean, that's almost a given. So, we as our defense, we just need to just keep playing like we is and probably going to step it up a little more, and I think we're going to be fine.
terms of facing the Bucks this week, obviously, I think for you guys, it starts with Doug Martin. He is the centerpiece of that offense. I think he has already 53 carries. You approached it in the same way, I think, in week one. You had C.J. Spiller to take away first. What is the mentality coming in against Doug Martin here?
Slow him down. Make him stop his feet. He's a real good downhill runner. He'll get outside sometimes, but that really ain't his thing. He like to get downhill, put his nose in the dirt, and get some tough yards. He's a real good running back, so we got to put some pass on him early to slow him down.
What has it been like for you working next to Vince? Obviously, you've seen him for afar for a long time, but now that you're playing in the trenches with him, what's that been like?
Loved him. Ever since I got here, he embraced me with open arms, made me feel real comfortable. Help me out if I'm ever unsure about anything in the defense. He explains it where I can understand it. It's been all good. I can't, ask for a better partner.
As you guys work on that pass rush, does any aspect of that deal with the dance afterwards? Because we saw Chandler doing a little gyrating last week. What was your reaction when you saw that on film, what Chandler did?
I love it. Personally, I love it, man, because it's so hard to get a sack. And when you get it, it's your time to shine. So whatever he's doing, I hope I see that dance a little more.
How about for you? You got one now. What are we going to see from you when you get the next one?
I don't know. I just do whatever come to me at the time. I ain't really ain't no good dancer, so you probably ain't going to see no dancing, but I do some.
As we look at the Bucs coming to Foxborough, it's much like week one for the Patriots defense. Focus on the opposing running back. Doug Martin, as a rookie a year ago, surprised 1,400-yard back. This year, he's even more the centerpiece of the Tampa Bay offense. 53 carries for over 200 yards in the first two games, on pace for a 400-carry season. Plus, he's the only guy other than one carry for Brian Leonard who's carried the football for the Bucs. For the Patriots defense this week, it's stop Doug Martin. The muscle hamster is the key. Turning to the Patriots offense, what they need to focus on against Tampa Bay, and that's one guy, Revis Island. Darrell Revis, now a Buck, and he's making plays on defense again, matching up with opponent's top receiver, as he's always liked to do. But there's no Randy Moss in New England. There's not even a Wes Welker. So who will Revis match up against? It could be Julian Edelman, but more of a slot player. If it's on the outside, it could be Kenbrell Tompkins or Aaron Dobson. Either way, it would be a tough challenge for the struggling rookies. Speaking of the Patriots' passing game and a potential tough matchup, Julian Edelman needs some praise. He's been criticized by the media and fans in New England for being often injured. He's healthy through the first 2 weeks, and he's producing. Tied for the NFL lead with 20 receptions, a couple touchdowns that helped win you the game on opening day in Buffalo. Julian Edelman, I don't know how long it'll last, but right now, he's replicating the production of Wes Welker.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
You're right, he won the Super Bowl MVP like a decade ago. Jerry Rice is available.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
So the Seattle Seahawks broke a record for crowd noise this weekend. I guess it's a Guinness Book World Record. Apparently, whoever is measuring that isn't here when we do our point-counterpoint up in the conference room or when Paul doesn't get what he wants for lunch. But besides them, they were making a lot of noise, and I give a lot of credit to the Seattle Seahawks fans. I don't know what it is, the fact that they might have caffeine on every corner. Maybe it's a younger audience. Maybe, they just realize that they've got a great team and they appreciate it. But whatever they're doing, it needs to be replicated around the NFL because that's what makes going to the game special.
Last week, Andy talked about Chip Kelly and that Philadelphia Eagles offense, that high-powered, up-tempo attack. And I share his enthusiasm when it comes to wanting to see how these sort of gimmick offenses translate from college to the pros. But one thing I would caution when you're looking at Kelly's offense is, do they have another way to do it? Is it always up-tempo? Because I thought it really hurt him last week against San Diego. As many points as they put on the board, at the end of the game, just before the two-minute warning, they were in field goal range to tie the game. They needed a touchdown. It was just before the two-minute warning, and they're still hurrying up. They left San Diego too much time. Ultimately, they couldn't get the touchdown. They had to settle for three, and Phillip Rivers went right down the field. That's all because they only know one way to play. That's pedal to the metal. They need to find another gear.
2 weeks into the 2013 NFL season, passing numbers are huge. Quarterbacks, 400-yard games, 300-yard games, 100 passer ratings. Peyton Manning is perfect in the fourth quarter passing this year. Everybody's talking about the golden age of the passer, the golden age of the quarterback, because of guys like Manning and Brady. He'll get there, don't worry. And Rodgers and some of the young guys, RG3, Colin Kaepernick. I look to the other side of the football. It's about cornerback play in the NFL. There's just not enough good corners to come around, and you know why? It's the hardest position to play in all of sports. You can't touch the receiver. You don't know where he's going. If you hit him after he catches the ball, you get a 15-yard penalty. There are other positions in sports that are harder in terms of the mental aspect, but physically, covering a receiver, being a cornerback, the hardest thing in all of sports.
Trash Talk. Brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on.
The passing game hasn't exactly been clicking in the early going. Is it time to bring in a veteran receiver?
So the veteran receiver you had in mind, Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, one of those guys?
They sound good.
They available? Because I take them. Oh, you mean guys that are actually available, like Mike Jenkins, Deion Branch, Dante Stallworth, Brandon Lloyd. Is he still available or is he an
active now? Give him a couple of practice quarters for Larry Fitzgerald.
I have no interest. Invest in the youth. You made a decision here to go young. You have your three rookies. Take the time, develop them. It'll pay off in the long run come January when they are playmakers.
I think that's the right thing to do for the receivers. But you know who's not young? Tom Brady. He's 36 years old. He's not getting younger. He needs guys right now that can help this offense move the football.
And they're on the street.
They have to find somebody.
They're on the street.
Well, listen, I don't know who it is exactly. I mean, we hear a lot of talk about different guys. Brandon Lloyd apparently is busy being an actor now, right. So he's not going to be the solution. But
it's funny, he acted like he was a receiver last year. He wasn't a very good actor.
I like to say if only he acted like an NFL player once in a while, he would have been all right. But that's not the point here. There are other guys that are veterans. Look, they're past their prime. Guys like Deion Branch, guys like Jabbar Gaffney.
Past his prime? They can't see his prime.
Even one of those guys comes in and gives Brady at least one more guy that he knows where he's going to be and gives a little bit of comfort level.
None of these guys made plays last year. So what is going to be the difference
Andy,
this year?
I'm not asking them to come in and beat Larry Fitzgerald or Calvin Johnson like you so sarcastically let off this segment with. I'm asking them to come in and give Tom another option.
That's
someone
great.
That he knows where they're going to be.
He knows
they're not
going to
light it up.
So
Deion Branch isn't going to go out and catch 55 passes. But he might catch 25.
Knowing Tom can now blackball the three rookies and just throw to Deion Branch if you get your way and
so
bring
now
him
the quarterback's
in. So we
the problem.
Won't develop the young guys.
So we are putting this on Brady's
shoulders. No, hypothetically speaking. I think if he brings in a veteran, yes, Tom will throw to that veteran because he knows where he is. And you know what that'll do? Stunt the growth of the rookies, and you'll have done nothing this year. You'll have wasted a year in your precious career of the aging Tom Brady.
So what happens if the rookies don't develop the way you think they're going?
Then you made a bad decision in the offseason. But you made a plan.
Right.
Stick to it. You made
this
a bad
lie in
it.
This is my point. You made a plan, and now you have to adjust when things aren't going
But you don't
great.
Have a plan
you
B.
You don't have to scrap it. You don't
There's
have to
no
blow it up.
There's no plan B. It's ridiculous
I'm not
to
suggesting
think
that you bench these guys.
Or any of those guys is going to come in and
just
contribute.
Bring
ridiculous.
In another person. I don't care who it is.
Now
bring
it's just
in
a body.
Guy.
Just well, a body.
But, no,
Michael
I'm talking
Jenkins,
about,
bring him in. He's
no,
available, right?
I don't want Michael Jenkins. I'm talking about guys that have some familiarity.
Oh, you don't want guys who were actually productive last year. You want guys who haven't been productive in 3 years.
Oh, Michael Jenkins was productive last year.
40 catches.
Yeah, and that's more productive than the guys that you had in the past?
Yeah, last year?
No.
Last year?
No. It's not more
last
productive.
Year,
no.
Michael Jenkins was more productive.
More productive player than
oh,
Michael
you're
Jenkins
right.
Has.
He won the Super Bowl MVP like a decade ago, so he'll still... Jerry Rice is available.
Right. Listen, the snark can
Raymond
work
Berry.
For you, but
Raymond
it isn't
Berry,
really effective.
Bring
it's
him
not
in.
Really accurate.
Because you want to bring in a guy who was less productive than Michael Jenkins
I
a year ago.
You know what? You know who's more productive? Raymond Berry would be more productive than what you've gotten in the first two games.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T. Take the pledge to never text and drive on Drive for Pledges Day, September 19th. Make sure to tell your family and friends that no text is worth the risk. Pledge now at ItCanWait.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you in part by Yokohama. Now through October 13th, buy a set of four Yokohama tires and receive a $100 Patriots Pro Shop gift card free. Details in store. Yokohama. Technology drives better tires.
All right. As of every week, it's time for your questions here at AskPFW at Patriots.com. And before we get to it, how many weeks away are we from the Wilson?
We're getting close. We're getting close. Well, and by the way, you should be thankful. Because I'm not sure your Patriots will be running all
I am thankful
all
we don't have it this week.
Fred, let's practice.
It's coming. Four games in, we'll have it. Four games in.
Okay. All right.
You'll see.
All right. All right. Well, anyway, this first question comes from Kyle Witkowski, and he wants to know, why isn't Leon Washington returning kicks over LeGarrette Blount?
That's a great question.
It's Blount. Now, Paul, you can answer.
I was ignoring that part of it, but that's a great question because I've been wondering the same thing. My only guess here is that when they re-signed Leon Washington, he did have a thigh problem. He was on the injury report with a thigh injury. He didn't play in the first game. He was inactive. My guess is that he's not quite 100%. They don't want to risk that. But, I mean, other than that, Bill hasn't really said anything. And even with Washington not doing it, I think Blount is a curious choice to handle those duties.
Yeah, but I do think we're going to see Washington maybe
at some
week.
Point.
Well,
some
I mean,
point,
the guy led the NFC last year, so yeah. It's not like he's incapable at this point in his career of doing it.
I think we'll
he's
see.
One of the premier kick returners in football.
All right, our next question comes from Jake Norton. And he happens to think if Peyton Manning had the same receivers Tom Brady has now, Manning would be doing a better job.
Yeah, I don't really agree with it. You know, Manning has always had somebody. He's always had a prime weapon. Harrison, Reggie Wayne, those guys always stayed healthy. Demaryius Thomas last year. I don't think we've ever seen Peyton Manning play in the type of offense that Brady has to right now without all his weapons. Depending on how you listed him, he's without what should be his top four, five, six weapons, depending how far back you want to go in the offseason. It's been ugly, and I think it would have been ugly with whoever was throwing the football because there's times when the receivers didn't run the right route, didn't get open, and didn't catch the ball. All three of those things are on the receivers. I don't know what the quarterback can do about that, so I totally disagree with that.
Yeah, I think Patriots fans are getting a little antsy here.
It's sort of unprecedented. Yes, yeah. You know, this situation that the receivers are in is sort of unprecedented. They had no idea. Like Andy said, you go four or five deep. Not too many teams have ever done that.
Right. All right, and our final question comes from Rob Masters. And he has questions about Josh McDaniels. Judging from
gotta find somebody to blame.
A lot of questions.
Judging from the players he's brought in, like you know Brandon Lloyd and Danny Amendola with the injuries, he's wondering if he is in fact the heir apparent. Should we question his personnel aptitude?
Well, that's going to be an interesting one because, first of all, I'm not necessarily buying the heir apparent. I know that's a very common perception right now is that Josh McDaniels will take over for Bill Belichick one day. First of all, I don't think Bill Belichick's going anywhere anytime soon. Second of all, I don't necessarily think it's their choice. I think Robert Kraft will have something to do with who the successor is. But I also am not sure that you want to turn the keys over to one guy. Right now, Bill Belichick has earned that. He's proven he's put together a program that's, to me, unparalleled. They've won three Super Bowls, and they're always in it. Josh McDaniels doesn't come in, if he is the guy, and automatically become the GM.
Patriots Nation, chill out, okay? It's got to be okay.
We want Peyton Manning. We're wondering who the next coach and GM are going to be. What the heck is going
on? Focus on the positive. Two wins, no losses.
All right, send your questions every week to AskPFW@Patriots.com.